Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations and Happy New Year. This past fall, CEF hosted our annual fall conference and fundraiser, where we were blessed to have as one of our guest speakers, Dr. Brian Chappell, the senior pastor of Grace Presbyterian Church in Peoria, Illinois. Dr. Chappell shared an insightful and powerful message with us on the importance of the team, the whole body of Christ, and our vital role as we together in raising children to know and walk with the Lord and to serve Him all their days. That is why in CEF, we are not only passionate about reaching children for Christ and teaching them God's Word, but we're also committed to help connect children to local Bible-believing churches where they can be implanted within the body of Christ for further Christian growth and deepened spiritual nurturing and Christian living as they continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there's no question about it. Reaching children and raising children to know and love the Lord is never a one-man show or even dependent upon a church or a Christian ministry organization's effort. It takes a team. It takes a body, the whole body of Christ. We hope you enjoy this important four-part message given by Dr. Brian Chappell. It takes a team.
It takes Christ's body to accomplish God's work as He intends for His children. And I'm going to ask very briefly that you look in the Bibles that are there in the seat backs and consider what it means to be part of a body that is responsible for its children and the generation to follow in the faith. So familiar words to you, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes to his son in the faith, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. Go to verse 13. As Paul continues to give his instruction to the spiritual son, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Now, if raising children is a team sport, not just in the home, but in the church, it is the team that's being described here. And if you think of the various parties of this body of Christ working together, it really is amazing in which everything that our speakers have talked about already tonight is being covered in the teamwork being described. Paul is describing himself as a spiritual father, as fathers have a role. He addresses Timothy, obviously a young man, but in verse 2, he says, to Timothy, my beloved child. There's a father relationship that is being established for the work of God. And it's not a new relationship. In verse 3, Paul says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors. As though we're not the first on the stage. We're not the first on the scene. That there is this intergenerational contribution to the work of faith that's going forward. Paul's not the first. He won't be the last. There has been preparation, and now there is carry through. Father, who has been trained by ancestors, and Timothy has some of those same benefits. Verse 5, I'm reminded, says Paul to Timothy, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Now, not just father and ancestors, but grandmother and mother, all on the team. More on the team, verse 6, For this reason, I remind you to fan and to flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, Paul is actually referencing something he talked about in the first letter to Timothy. In chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul wasn't the only one to put hands on Timothy. He said the council of elders put their hands on Timothy as they commissioned him with the work of the gospel. Now we have ancestors, father, grandmother, mother, and the church all contributing to the work of Timothy. And that work itself has the participation, verse 13, of the pattern of sound words. Scripture's got a role too. If you think about that which is guiding us, is not just family wisdom, it is wisdom from on high, from that Father above that Paul has just described. And then he actually says, verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, that the same Christ who has ascended has said, I will send my comforter, who will be my witness to you, and he will testify of me and also tell you what you are to follow in terms of sound instruction. We get Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with the church, with spiritual fathers, with spiritual ancestors, with mothers, with grandmothers. That's the team. It's everybody contributing, and never has it been more apparent that it's necessary that the team be working in the body as it is called to be. Just a quick rehearsal of some things we've talked about as a church on other occasions. What's the situation in which we find ourselves as a culture? And Ken specifically mentioned it when he says he's so grateful for the Good News Clubs that teach the Bible because they teach the truth. Instead of your truth versus your opinion versus my opinion, you recognize that in the culture in which we live, in the last half century in particular, there has been a loss of truth. As what Francis Schaeffer once described as capital T truth, transcendent truth, truth that was beyond individuals, truth that was beyond cultures, God's truth has been supplanted by little t truth. Everybody has their truth. Yeah, you have truth, but it's your truth. It doesn't have to be my truth. There's no ultimate referee. It's just what you feel in the moment, and as long as you don't hurt people, as you define hurt, as you love according to the way you think love ought to be, don't tell me what your truth is. That's just your opinion. I have my truth, you have your truth. And you would have to say, as a consequence, society just frays and families fray. And even in the church, there are people who live a certain truth until their families or their marriages or their children get in trouble. And they say, well, that's just your opinion. That's just what this church teaches. And there's no sense of transcendent truth. The consequence of the loss of truth is the loss of our youth. Well-repeated figures, often debated, you should know that. But nonetheless, a lot of weight on those is even in our Bible-believing evangelical churches, roughly two-thirds of our children, when they go to college, will stop attending church. Roughly two-thirds. And you say that they aren't all raised improperly, but nonetheless, roughly two-thirds will stop any form of regular attendance. Now, a good number of them will come back to regular church attendance a little bit later in life. When will they return to church? When they start having children. But only a third will come back. So in our culture today, what we see is the aging of the church. We see the loss of youth. And very easy to kind of blame the youth. Except if you are a pastor in today's church, you also recognize there is the loss of the mature. So huge change in our society right now, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But pastors are actually taught in school now, when are the moments at which the mature, your long-term attenders, your church officers, those who have been the pillars of the church, what are the points at which they may stop being involved in the regular life of the teamwork, the body of the church? And they're just standard patterns that we recognize and should recognize in today's culture. You would say the empty nest moment, all right? So I have a little more discretionary income, don't have the responsibility of children, don't feel obligated to send in the church, and because I'm an empty nester, I may not have the obligations to go to church. The other reason is I may have kept my marriage together for the sake of the kids. And now when I'm an empty nester, that pressure is not there either. So one of the points at which people kind of check out of church, the mature people, often the bedrock people of the church, is when they become empty nesters. And we would just tell you that is true in this church. And I look at some of you who are knowledgeable of the inside avenues of this church, and you recognize that we face exactly that. There are the empty nesters who suddenly are considering and doing things that we never imagined that they would consider and do. It's not just empty nest. Another key moment is retirement. So when people are retired, they have more discretionary income, they have more discretionary time, and they have no obligation that holds them by career to the local church. And so they tend to check out of the church at the retirement age. There is another age, and we don't like talking about because it sounds, I heard Katrina say over and over again, I don't want to go negative. And I think there's such wisdom in that. I don't want to go negative. But just reality is, when do people check out? Empty nest point, retirement point, but pastors learn the code. And the other is, Pastor, I've got this wonderful blessing. The Lord just gave my wife and me a lake home. And what they just said to us is, sayonara. We will see you later. Our life pattern has changed. We're kind of done here. We're now enjoying life elsewhere. So you recognize there's the loss of the mature for those various reasons. There is some reflection in the youth. Pastors tend to recognize they will tend to lose teens, not when parents tell them they can't attend church, shouldn't attend church. There are two major factors that say when my teens will stop attending church no matter what parents have said previously in their lives. Two major times. One, pastors get used to the phrase, great news, pastor, my kid made the travel team. What'd you just say? We're kind of done here for the next 2 or 3 years. Especially during the season, unless you got the privilege of having a multi-sport child. And then we're like, the other, my child is earning money for college by working when? On Sundays, right? And because we are not Roman Catholic, so we don't have the Saturday night service, the kids just stop attending. What's the weekend job start? So we recognize these dynamics. Now, what I just said, you might think, is that just Midwestern? Is that just current era? Is that just kind of our evangelical church? And you would have to say, actually, everything I just said about the loss of truth, the loss of youth, the loss of is being felt throughout the church society in which we live.
You have just been listening to an excerpt from a 4-part message that will be airing over the next 3 weeks, where Dr. Brian Chappell is not only sharing about the status of the evangelical church and major truth issues facing our church society today, but also how all of that coming at us, both from the secular world without and multi-layered challenges from within, impacts and underscores the importance of raising our children, the future generations, to know and love the Lord, not only for us in our role as parents, but as the whole body of Christ together. We hope you join us again next week as we continue to air Dr. Chappell's message, It Takes a Team, the Body of Christ.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.